This is MSO NewsSports.com. I'm Bill Newell with Andy Carboni. Time for the Baseball Insider. And Andy, I never would have thought this. The 11-game winning streak, magic number at 2. How about these Sox?
Well, no one saw this coming, Bill, and I'm top of the list. I figured this team was going to have a hard time even making the wild card game, if any kind of playoff action at all. And they've certainly turned the tables, gone on one heck of a streak, their longest winning streak since 2009. They pick up their 11th straight win yesterday, a day off today. They head into New York, and the next couple of days, Boston Red Sox will be American League East Division champions.
Yeah. My daughter was home from New York yesterday, and she says, "Dad, how are the Red Sox doing? They're not doing that well, are they?" And I go, "What?"
Okay.
Yeah.
Need to catch up on things.
Yeah. So you miss 10, 15 days, and what a difference it makes. Yeah.
Absolutely.
She had taken a few weeks off, apparently. All right. How about that strikeout performance, though, yesterday, Andy? Amazing.
It certainly was. Again, another situation you don't see coming. The Red Sox struck out a team record 23 batters yesterday over the 10 innings. They set a team record with 21 strikeouts in 9 innings. Of course, those first two records were set by Roger Clemens with his 20 strikeout games.
Yeah.
But Eduardo Rodriguez and Heath Embry combined to strike out 11 straight Tampa Bay Rays. That set a Major League Baseball record. Rodriguez overall had 13 strikeouts and 5 in the third innings of work. So, it was very impressive, to say the least. I mean, obviously, I know that the Rays are prone to the strikeout, but this goes above and beyond. And also, this year, the Red Sox have the most strikeouts as a staff in team history. You really wouldn't probably think about that, considering that the pitching staff they have, they really don't have, other than David Price, a guy you look at and say, oh, he's a big strikeout pitcher, like a Clemens or a Curt Schilling, have a couple of those guys in the rotation. But everyone's been shipping in, and they've been piling up the strikeouts.
Yeah, they must be doctoring the baseball or something or other.
Yeah, something going on over there. I don't know what, but something's going on.
All right. Well, one thing going on is Dustin Pedroia. He has it going on. The big home run on Saturday, and then the dance to the plate for the win Sunday.
Yeah, Pedroia's been struggling over the last week or so. The Red Sox have been on this big winning streak. Pedroia has been struggling in the leadoff spot. For a while, he was well over 400. His average as a leadoff batter dipped under 380. He was 0-for-15 at one point. But then on Saturday, he had an 11-pitch at bat against the Tampa Bay relief pitcher and ends up hitting a grand slam to give the Sox the lead to stay. And then yesterday, he hit another home run. And then in the 10th inning yesterday, he was sent home on a base hit by Ortiz. He was going to be out by a good 10 feet. I don't know why he was really sent in that situation. There was only one out at the time. But he had to do a dance to get around the catcher and eventually touch home plate by pretty much falling on top of the catcher. It was pretty impressive if you haven't seen the replay of that yet. You want to look at the replay a little close. It does look like he did get tagged before the ball popped out of the catcher's glove. But we don't care about that right now. But he was ruled safe. Red Sox win, and everything's perfect in Red Sox Nation right now.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to show when things are going your way, they're going your way.
No question about it.
Right. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, everyone knows what happened, I guess. Okay, on we go. Rick Porcello and Pablo Sandoval. Give me updates on those guys.
Well, first with Porcello, he won his 22nd game on Saturday, first Sox pitcher to do so since Pedro Martinez back in 2009. And believe it or not, there was an article in the Globe yesterday, as well as it was mentioned on many media outlets, that Pablo Sandoval, he's back with the team, working out, taking BP, fielding ground balls, and manager John Farrell says Pablo could be activated on the active roster before the end of the regular season, and there's a possibility they could even put him on the playoff roster, believe it or not. You talk about it, you don't see an 11-game winning streak coming. Who the heck would have seen Pablo Sandoval possibly becoming a factor by the end of the season and into the playoffs? I think, to me, I would leave Pablo at home. I just think that could cause an issue in the clubhouse. I don't know. That's just me. But everyone rants and raves what a great postseason player he is. He's been very effective, which he has. I can't take that away from him. But for a guy that's had 7 at-bats all year, hasn't played since April, and all of a sudden he's going to come in and take someone's job away, to me, I don't know if that's the best for team morale and overall situation. So we'll have to see how that even plays out, if it does.
Well, our October is his April, kind of.
Well, if our October is his April, that means he's going to be pretty rusty, because most guys come out of the box a little slow in April. So that means, Pablo, stay home.
Yeah, no, I know. But I want to pick up on one thing you said, Andy. I think people will see Pablo Sandoval coming if he does head our way. They'll see him.
Well, there's no question. You can't miss him. I mean, they say he's lost weight. He doesn't look that much different to me from the highlights I saw, but so be it. I mean, maybe he does something toward the end of the season here in the playoffs, and maybe it could be used as a showcase to get him the heck out of town, because I don't even want to see him next year. So,
gotcha. All right, quick other updates on Stephen Wright and his shoulder, and then I guess the Red Sox schedule looking ahead here.
Well, Stephen Wright experienced some additional pain in his throwing shoulder doing some workouts before the weekend started. It was on Friday. So he's really running out of time for him to clear up the shoulder pain and get on a throwing program. Very highly doubtful you're going to see him in any kind of postseason situation, which is a shame because first half of the year he was right on top there with your best starter, made the All-Star team because of a decision by John Farrell to use him as a pinch runner, which I'm still somewhat baffled by. Cost this guy the rest of his season, so that's a shame. Sox off today, 3 games down in the Bronx, starting tomorrow, and then 3 at home to finish up the regular season. And the tributes to David Ortiz will begin in earnest on Friday at Fenway. Events planned all 3 games. Of course, Ortiz will go on to the postseason and have that official final at bat. But his final regular season at bat as a member of the Boston Red Sox will probably take place about 5:30 or so on Sunday afternoon.
Gotcha. How about quick updates on the wild card races?
Yeah, it's tightening up just a bit. A little more elbow room in the American League. The Blue Jays lead Baltimore by a game and a half of the top wild card spot, and Baltimore has a game and a half lead over Detroit for the second wild card spot. Things are a little more interesting in the National League, with the Mets have a game lead over the San Francisco Giants, and then St. Louis Cardinals are half game behind the Giants for the second wild card. So there's still some scoreboard watching to be done as we head into the final week of the regular season.
Finally, we move to the big pitcher, Major League Baseball, beyond just the Red Sox. Tragic story with the Marlins pitcher, Jose Fernandez, this weekend.
Yeah, definitely shocking yesterday morning. I got a text from my son at about 8:30, and he broke the news to me, and I was like, what are you talking about? You know, what happened? And apparently, Jose Fernandez was out with a couple friends and was involved in a boating accident off Miami Beach early Sunday morning, around 3 o'clock in the morning. Just a shame. He's the face of the franchise, a Cuban defector, and obviously in Miami, that's a big deal. And he's a great pitcher, an all-star pitcher, well-liked throughout baseball, always had a zeal and a zest for the game. Everyone was always happy to be around him, never really heard a negative story about him. So this is just this comes out of left field, obviously, for a better pun, but just a shame, and put a little bit of damper on baseball yesterday.
Also, Vin Scully is retiring, 89 years old, 67 years calling Dodger games. I have a major regret. I wish I heard more of Vin Scully during his career.
Oh, I agree with you too, Bill. No question at all about that. I'm kind of upset at him that he's actually retiring. Like, what else is he going to do now? He's 89. Why can't you just come back and do games next year? I mean, he's such a pleasure to listen to. I've had the opportunity to catch some of his games on the MLB Network. I've heard some old broadcasts on audio tape and whatnot over the years. And, of course, growing up, he was the Game of the Week broadcaster on NBC on Saturday afternoons. And that's how I first was inducted to Vin Scully. And, it's a shame that he is, wrapping it up and hanging up the mic. But, he's had a tremendous career and well-respected, and he's going to be missed.
When I was at the sports final, I worked with a guy from L.A., and he loved Vin Scully, and I get it, obviously. And, as a kid growing up, he did a daytime television show on the networks, might have been NBC, and it was, and he just had that whole city, he was in charge of that city for years, not just as a sportscaster, but as an entertainer on television, too, Yeah.
Well, no, he went the whole game, and in fact, at the end of the game yesterday, after the Dodgers walked off in the bottom of the 10th with a win to clinch the division title on a home run, Vin addressed the crowd, addressed the players, and at the end, he brought his wife into the booth with him, and then he sang. I didn't know Vin Scully could sing.
Yeah.
It was a very emotional scene at Dodger Stadium yesterday, no question about it. And, like you said, I just wish I could have heard him more. And it's amazing, too, that even out in L.A. now, they have a problem. I know things have been somewhat rectified within the last month or so, but their local cable outlet didn't carry the Dodger games. So what they do on the Dodger radio network is you hear Vin Scully on the radio for 3 innings with the TV broadcast.
Yeah.
Because many people can't watch them on TV. and then the regular announcers take over after that. But, you know, he didn't travel, you know, further east than, I think, Arizona.
Yeah.
Lately, last few years, which all makes sense. I mean, it's going to be tough shoes to fill, whoever's taking over that spot. I mean, to be doing games for 67 years, I mean, that's mind-boggling.
It is.
Absolutely mind-boggling. And to be with one team the whole time, that's another situation. I mean, announcers do bounce around.
Yeah. Well, quickly wrapping it up, Gary Sanchez of the Yankees, tell me about that. You got a couple of other notes here.
Gary Sanchez became the fastest player in Major League Baseball history to 19 home runs, did it in just 45 games. And yesterday was the 39th anniversary of Sox starter Reggie Cleveland's complete game 18-hitter in Detroit. 1977, the Sox won 12-5. He threw 145 pitches in that game, and to think that a pitcher could be left in that long for 18 hits, just unbelievable. Just a different time.
Yeah, those were the days I remember, absolutely. Yeah, totally different. All right, Andy, great talking with you.
Same to you, Bill. Appreciate it.
All right, let's get ready for postseason. That's Andy Carbone, our baseball insider. I'm Bill Newell on MSO, newsports.com.